From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. We'll get into what we're talking about today here soon. First, a little bit of a caveat for today's show. We are recording this early. It is a Sunday afternoon. Ole Miss, about an hour and a half ago, knocked off Texas A&M in the home series finale for the year. Rebels 6, Aggies 3, taking 2 of 3, winning Saturday and Sunday to move to 31-21, 13-14 in the SEC, and make next weekend fairly manageable at Auburn. Losers of 7 straight, by the way. Auburn RPI all the way down to 46 for the Tigers. They were a top 5 team a few weeks ago. But anyway, Ole Miss headed to the Plains to finish up the regular season. 2 wins should guarantee an NCAA berth. 1 win might do it. So huge last 2 days for Ole Miss in that regard. RPI up to 31 or so.
It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That is everybody's Thursday, Friday, Saturday last week because of the SEC baseball tournament, which will begin in Hoover that next Tuesday.
That's what I thought I recalled. I was just making sure.
Barring something crazy, Ole Miss will be in one of the middle two games in Hoover on Tuesday. That is a 1 p.m. or a 4:30, unless they got incredibly hot and finished 5th or 6th in the conference. Right now, they can't be 10th, so if you're 7th, 8th, or 9th, or maybe no lower than 10, I guess, 7, 8, 9, and 10, all the middle games there in the SEC tournament. So, they're 2 games ahead of Missouri for maybe 10th place. I don't know. South Carolina lost again. That is the 6th or 7th series in a row for Carolina to lose, losing 2 or 3 to Missouri this weekend. So
probably not a good night at the Holbrook House.
Yeah, there might be some questions coming soon for Mr. Holbrook there in Columbia. We'll talk about that. Ole Miss softball goes on a heck of a run over the week. They win the SEC softball title, winning the tournament in Knoxville. We're watching Warrior Spurs as
we are all Spurs right now.
94-90 Spurs as at the moment of this this recording.
So they were up 20 at the half, and Kawhi Leonard got hurt.
And they're shooting air balls occasionally. That's usually not good either. So anyway. Softball team wins the SEC tournament. They will find out tonight at 9 p.m. if they are host site or not. Clearly, since we are recording now, we will not know that answer. So whatever that verdict is, we'll talk about it on Tuesday's show this week on the podcast. So remember that as you're listening. We have no idea. It is not there yet. It is still 4 hours away from that selection. But they went on a heck of a run. Mississippi State, Alabama, Florida, and LSU. Pretty good softball being played to beat those four teams. Pretty much dominated most of the games. I guess they had one run game maybe all the way through that. They beat State 2-1 in the opener. That was the only one run game they had. So
yeah, more comfortable the rest of the way. Huge win over the top ranked team in the country in Florida. And then as teams do, when you get a huge win like that, you start playing with confidence. And I mean, I didn't see it and won't pretend to know that I understand the nuances of softball, but they apparently played their very best softball of the season.
Probably, again, we'll get into this in a minute, but probably, too, helps when you play Alabama and LSU, who you've already beaten. You already beat Alabama 2 out of 3. You already swept LSU. There was no intimidation factor. You're just playing the games at that point against teams that you've had some success about. So Ole Miss, a team that I'm not sure had ever won an SEC tournament game, wins the tournament. I saw a stat somewhere where they were 2-57 all time against Alabama going into the season, and they went 3-1 against the Tide this year. So Mike Smith's done a nice job there. More softball here in a little bit, but again, don't know the answer. Don't know their postseason plans. Have no idea as of this recording. Podcast brought to you, as always, by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Check them out for the Plenty Card. Save some money, earn some points, all the good stuff we tell you about all the time, as well as lunch specials, ribs at night, ribs during the day, whenever you need it there at the Oxford Exxon. It is clean, is convenient, and good prices as well. Next door at the Oxford Crystal, you can mix and match the 5 for 5. Now includes the fried chicken, also includes the country fried steak crystal. So any of those things, check them out at Oxford Crystal. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. The number, clarkfordinc.com, is the website. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. in business hours. You can take that quote, shop it, or you can take that quote and take our word for it and sort of trust the customers from all over the South who have bought from Clark Ford and done so by getting the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's right to the bottom line. Just great deals. No haggling at Clark Ford and Amory. And when you get through finishing your deal with Corey, tell him that you heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. Either one. $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory. 662-257-1900. ClarkFordInc.com.
Start with baseball today. Again, beat Texas A&M. They lose 12-5 on Friday night. And I'll be honest, that game's over. Was not a good day for Ole Miss. James McArthur got knocked around a little bit. They just didn't pose. They scored probably enough. You know, it's Friday night. You get five runs. You think, hey, a lot of times that's enough. But they just weren't ever really in the game. It was one of the worst games I've seen them play, honestly, from a defensive standpoint, some mental errors. They just kind of seemed to be out of it. And that's coming on the heels of the Florida sweep. They had lost five SEC games in a row. And then on Saturday night, down 4-2 going into the eighth inning, get a couple hits to lead it off. Tim Rowe hits a ball to the shortstop that could have easily been a double play because they had runners on second and third, but an out kind of takes away some of the momentum. And instead, the shortstop lets it eat him up. It bounces into short left field. They follow that with a Gray Kessinger double, a Will Golson single, and suddenly they're up 6-4, and they win that game. And then today, just kind of dominated throughout. David Parkinson gave him a really nice six innings. He had a battle. He didn't have his best stuff by any means, but he holds the Aggies to one run over six innings. They score two in the first inning off just one hit, too. We're pretty efficient. They got some things going in that way. And then win today changes the total complexion of everything. If they lose one of those two, it is really in tough sledding going into Auburn, but now they not only have a pulse, but have a pretty clear path to making this not so uncomfortable in a week from Monday.
Yeah, I mean, down on Saturday, there's a real chance if you don't come back and win that game that your season is basically done. You know, you'd be 11-15, and that wasn't the case. They came back and won, and sometimes you have to have a little luck. And then you have to take advantage of it, and you have to have some resilience, and they did. And it was a big win yesterday, and then to win today, obviously. Now they go to Auburn, and my opinion, given their RPI, as long as they don't get swept, they're in.
You think they get in at 14?
Yeah, because their RPI is like 31.
31 right now.
Yeah. I mean, might be nail-biting time, especially if they were to go to Hoover and lose on Tuesday and have to sit and wait for 5 days. That might be somewhat agonizing for them, but my guess is that they would get in. Memorial Day would bring good news, and if they win two at Auburn, they're most certainly in, and they don't have to worry about the SEC tournament and all that stuff, and the way Auburn's playing, that's more than doable right now.
That's what I was about to say. An Auburn team that on April the 29th, had just swept a doubleheader or two games from Mississippi State to win that series. They are rolling. At that point, they are, they're 32-21. 32-14 overall on that day. And then they would have been 14-7 in the SEC. Talking conference title, talking division title. Swept by Alabama. Losing 8-2 midweek to UAB. Have the embarrassing situation with Samford where you canceled the game because you don't – or it was Alabama that canceled the game and didn't have any pitching. They played and just lost to UAB, sorry. But anyway, and then get swept by LSU over the weekend, which LSU is red hot. But anyway, I'm shocked, by the way. LSU winning games in May.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so LSU, they're hot. They sweep Auburn. The Tigers have gone from host, national seed, SEC West champion to maybe a bubble team. 46 in the RPI.
You know what I'm going to say because you've known me a long time.
Yep.
You are what you are, and you usually end up, whether it's by falling to it or soaring to it, get to that place. LSU is a very good baseball team. They started a little slow, got moving. Auburn's not a very good baseball team. Started hot, played above their heads for a while. That sounds like I'm slamming them, and I'm not. But you usually become who you really are, and they have.
huge opportunity for Ole Miss is what it means, though.
I still can't believe they didn't call that. Yeah, it's.
We have not tried one of these before to watch NBA playoff basketball with Neil.
No, it is a real opportunity for them, for sure. Go win two games. You take all the drama out of it. Just go win two games and come home on Saturday night, and you're in the tournament.
Doesn't matter what you do.
And you know what? Along those lines, what did we say this Ole Miss team was? Young, going to be a little up and down. Probably a 15-15 SEC team that was going to go somewhere as a 2 seed.
That's what they look like.
And that's what they look like. That appears to be their resume at this point.
Yeah, if I get a 2 out of 3 with Ole Miss over Auburn and the midweek win against Arkansas State, I will have hit for the first time since I've been covering Ole Miss the record and the conference record exactly.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
That's what I'd be down to.
I didn't try to do the overall record. I did say 15-15 in the league, and I still think that's what they'll be. And given how young they are, and I guess I'm worn out from the arguments with people over the course of months. For this team, it's an accomplishment. This team hosting would have been overachieving in a major way, really. This team not making the tournament would have been underachieving, but not in a dramatic way. This team going 15-15 in the league, being a 2 on the road somewhere against a really strong 1, needing to pull off what would be a pretty big upset, is exactly what they should do in this year. Now, next year, the year after that, if there's no hosting and there's no threatening to go to Omaha, then you can talk to me about underachieving and we can have that conversation. Not with this team, my opinion. And I don't watch them anywhere near as much as you do, obviously. But I do know enough about college baseball and the way it works to know that for this group, youth was going to be an issue, especially when a couple of the guys who came in were defense-first prospects who you knew were going to struggle with the bat against elite SEC pitching.
That's what's funny about this. We'll get into that a little more as the day goes on. Maybe as the week goes on, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, it's the number one class. I got into some message board today, and it was actually one of the more civil conversations. It wasn't a couple of the threads that have gone crazy. It was the number one class with 3 pitchers, 1 bat, and 2, as you said, defense-first players in the top 6. So it gives the idea of this, oh, instant impact thing, and it is from some areas. I mean, they are pitching the crap out of it for some of these guys and these young kids. But from an offensive standpoint, you had a bunch of projects, and then you had the defense-first guys that were going to struggle, and then you had Thomas Dillard, who has been a little below expectations. However, even there, some scouts said, hey, he might struggle with velocity at times. He might have a hard time with some contact rates. It's kind of what's happening.
Otherwise, he would have been a really high pick.
Yeah, there's flaws with.
There's a reason he didn't go in the first 2 rounds of the draft. I didn't mean to cut you off. It is. If he were a polished hitter with his sort of raw power, he would have gone early in the draft.
If Cooper could hit, he would certainly not be in college right now.
If Cooper were a polished hitter, he would have been a top 15 pick. With his arm and his hand, footwork and hands?
Tell you what, though. He's playing really well defensively this weekend. He was a key for him defensively. He was outstanding. Cooper Johnson started 7-for-51 offensively in his college career. Finished the weekend hitting .218. It's up.
Yes.
He's starting to find some offense all of a sudden. Greg Kessinger around .300 over his last 10 or 11 games.
So you're saying, I hate being a smart ass, but I feel like being a smart ass right now. You're saying it took a little time? Maybe they had to adjust to the adjustments? That maybe they had to get used to seeing elite pitching? Nothing against Oxford High School and the teams that Oxford High School faces or the teams that Cooper Johnson faced at the high school level. And I know that they faced elite pitchers and perfect game and all that stuff. But I'm talking about day in, day out. Mm-hmm. Nothing against the teams at Saltillo and Tupelo and those type places or wherever the schools that Cooper played against. I'm guessing he didn't see the cat at Florida every Friday night. He didn't see the kid at Vanderbilt every Friday night. He didn't see LSU staff every Friday night. I'm just guessing. It's a safe guess.
Of course not. So they're starting to hit a little. I mean, that's what's funny. The pitching had kind of failed them over the last week or so when they did hit this lull. It was they weren't getting the same mound presence they had gotten for the first 45 games of the season. And, look, that happens because, A, you can't always count on that. B, it's a lot of stress innings over a season where they don't get a lot of run support and every pitch they throw is potentially a loss. That factors in on you as much as anything. It's not just the fatigue on throwing the ball. It's the mental, the physical, the strain that goes along with that. And they haven't performed over the last week or so, but they got a couple the last couple days, and they pulled this thing back together where still, if you get into a postseason series, hitting a little better, going to throw some arms out there, and you see what happens.
Yeah, it's like last year. You know, Ole Miss went 0-2. If they could replay that regional 10 times, they wouldn't go 0-2. But there's a big difference between 100 pitches when you're stressed in a 2-1 game and 100 pitches when your team's ahead 6-1. Night and day difference in the two. God, you can't give them three shots. Oh! 1:48 to go as we watch this, in case you're wondering. 1:48 was Golden State just got three shots at the basket before they made one.
Greg Kessinger, coming into the weekend, when I know he played pretty well, but I don't know the exact stats off the top of my head, had hits in seven of the last eight games prior to the weekend. So, it's coming up.
He's made some adjustments. He's a very good player. That's why they were a top class. There were kids that showed the ability to perform.
Did you turn your mic off?
I don't think so.
Did you not hit the button?
Nope, it's on.
Okay, go ahead.
They were just – they're young guys. That youth was going to have ups and downs.
Yeah, we had a little mic thing there. I don't know what happened. You were, like, completely fine, and then all of a sudden you kind of went away.
No idea. This mic's kind of loose. It's part of the problem. But, you know, they were going to do well, and they were going to have periods where they failed, frankly. And they did. And they probably aren't done yet. Don't forget, this will be their first postseason when they get there, assuming they get there.
They'll have some butterflies, and they'll probably freak out from time to time.
Yeah, and who knows what they'll do. I think if this team makes the tournament and gets the learning experience of playing in the postseason, I think that's a positive. I think it's something that they can build on moving forward.
So, again, Auburn's lost seven in a row. I don't know what they have in the midweek, but anyway, Ole Miss, Auburn, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll have some interviews tomorrow. I think it's actually the only time that we get anything this week because they're obviously going to be in Jonesboro on Tuesday night when they kind of need a rain out there. That is Arkansas State at 188 in the RPI. Win the game.
Oh, Ole Miss plays them this week?
Yeah, Tuesday night, Jonesboro.
That's dumb. Who scheduled that?
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't play a last game right now, a midweek game this week.
What did Alabama do the other day with Samford?
Well, they offered him a 5-year contract. They probably already had Ole Miss probably has a 25-year contract with Arkansas State. They play him twice
35.
A year.
35. Get out.
We're good.
Eat it.
You wouldn't go to Jonesboro Tuesday night?
Not if I could help it. Totally serious. I don't think there's any rain in the forecast Tuesday.
No, I think they'd be messed over from that standpoint. I saw where Clemson not only has a midweek game, they play Coastal Carolina Tuesday night.
What are people thinking? So you can play the game on Tuesday night. I assume they'll come back to Oxford and then load the buses on Wednesday to drive to Auburn.
That is correct, yes.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, I think I would take the last midweek off every year.
I wouldn't play the midweek. Chill a little bit. Get arms healthy.
Especially right now because you're going into a game that you have to win.
Yeah, I don't know that they have to win it, but
it would help.
A loss wouldn't look good.
It would bring the 14-win RPI more into question if the RPI fell through.
Well, that's true. It would put the onus on you to make sure you got to.
Yeah, at Auburn, which can still pitch it. That's the thing with Auburn. They've struggled and they're not hitting the ball as well as they were earlier in the year. And it's kind of like when we had Mike Rooney on after the or during the Kentucky series when he said, you know, Auburn is a team that has to win one specific way. They have to win when this guy pitches and this guy pitches and then this guy's in relief. And they've still pitched really well, but they just haven't done the other things necessary these last couple weeks to win that way. So anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Siddle County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast, all underwriting and processing done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market, leader in condo financing. So ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. Contact Jason, 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Looking for something active to do this summer? The Oxford Park Commission has you covered during the hottest months of the year. Registration for instructional programs is ongoing through May the 31st. Tennis, golf, gymnastics, cheerleading, fencing, and karate are just some of the many activities youth and adults can take part in. For more information on summer programs, visit them online at oxfordparkcommission.com. Like them on Facebook at Oxford Parks Commission. Follow them on Twitter at Oxford Parks Rec or on Instagram at Oxford Parks. Live well, play well. Have fun. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which should be up by the time you hear this. On Monday, Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. they also have great lease deals as well at Grenada Nissan. Get in touch with Gene and Sandy when you go in. Tell them you heard about it here on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
So is this game over now?
Yeah. 0.5 seconds left. Golden State's up 3.
Who has the ball?
Spurs have it, but they'd have to. There's no way it's over.
You can't get it out and get a shot off, can you?
Nope.
Makes the first free throw. 113-111 Golden State at this moment.
I mean, unless Golden State does something stupid like commit a foul on the in the 0.5 seconds that the ball's coming off the rim.
Probably not going to happen.
That would be my guess, is that they won't. So, yeah, big. I guess it's a big win for Golden State. It's a huge loss for San Antonio because they led by 20.
Ball game.
But when Kawhi Leonard went out midway through the third quarter, they just did not have enough. Kevin Durant's first Western Conference Finals win in his last four.
It took that long to get there.
No, I'm not bitter.
Not at all, right?
None.
I saw he debuted a new shoe tonight.
Did he?
Today.
What's it called? The Next Chapter?
KD10 or something like that?
KD10. Well, good for him. I'm real happy for him.
All the best. Take care.
I can't wait for LeBron to beat them. I really hope LeBron beats them. I will be as big of a LeBron fan as there ever has been. And I've never really been a LeBron guy before, but we will all be Cavaliers.
It's cracking me up.
It's a huge loss for San Antonio, though, because if they don't lose Kawhi Leonard, they probably win this game. Up 20 when he went down. I mean, it's just
– when you just still won. I mean, it's huge on so many levels.
Yeah, I mean, had they won with – and he not gotten hurt. And he got hurt. There'll be a lot of talk about it, whether it was dirty or not. Zaza Pachulia went underneath him on a jump shot. He did it intentionally. It was absolutely dirty.
Is he known as a dirty player?
Yes.
Oh, is he? Okay.
And it was a killer for the Spurs. I'll be curious to see Greg Popovich's reaction, whether he takes the high road or calls it like it was.
Quick, just little record book update here. Dallas Wolfolk, 2 saves over the weekend. Got a 6-out save today. Also finished up the 9th inning yesterday. That is 12 saves on the season now for Wolfolk. That is 2nd in school history, 1 behind Stephen Head's 13 in 2003. Brett Huber also had 12 in 2010 and 2013. So there is that. And then also the 13 career saves for Wolfo, because he had one his freshman year that ties him for sixth in Ole Miss history with Wyatt Short and Skipper Wright. Not sure when Mr. Wright was a relief pitcher for Ole Miss, but Wyatt Short obviously finished up his career last year. And with Wolfolk having a year left of eligibility, I have a feeling he's going to move way up that list by the end of next season.
Yeah, that's a lot of saves in a college season.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
I don't know what the record is. I have to get the book out for that. I'm not sure, but anyway. Mike Bianco, kind of serious, kind of kidding last night, but I think more serious than not, credited the Ole Miss softball team with part of the comeback, as Ole Miss was fairly listless, not a lot of energy in the stadium last night going into the eighth inning. They put the game up on the video board in between innings. It was basically right around the time either Ole Miss won it or they were going to the last inning. Crowd got up, pretty good ovations, seemed to kind of let some energy flow in the stadium. Ole Miss goes on a little bit of a rally. Then today as well, they were in a bit of a tight spot. Ole Miss got back from,
just slid under him.
Well, now the other dude for Golden State, he threw his hands up like I did nothing right after that, which is usually a universal sign of you did a lot.
Yeah.
By the way,
didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted you to see.
Yeah, no, you're good. Who was next? Anything else today?
No,
Eastern Conference tomorrow.
Eastern Conference finishes up the semifinals tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Boston, Washington.
Yeah.
Predators play tonight.
So they went ahead and started this one before the other ones got started.
Yep.
That far ahead.
Yeah, Golden State had not played in a week.
Huh. So today, in a little bit of a tight spot, Ole Miss gets back from Knoxville. They bring them through the stadium to kind of get an ovation from the baseball crowd. By the way, good job on doing that. I wasn't sure if they were going to or not. There had been some different lines of communication on whether or not that was actually going to happen. But that was good. It was good for the girls to come through and receive that appreciation from the baseball crowd there. But, again, it kind of picked everybody up a little bit, and Ole Miss goes on and wins it.
I talked to Mike Smith this afternoon when they got back. I'll lead 10 thoughts with it. It's kind of an emotional weekend for him. His grandfather passed away on Wednesday, or he learned about it on Wednesday as the team was arriving to play Mississippi State. And they got the win that day and then just kind of kept going. He talked about the win over Florida on Thursday being a
kind of – hard to explain probably for how big that was.
Probably a program-defining win. And then for this particular team, a confidence-shaping win, one that probably changed the way that they look at themselves going forward. And it led into a weekend that no matter what happens the rest of the way, and again, like you said at the beginning, by the time you hear this, you'll know whether they're hosting or not. I'm going to get into a little hosting issue in just a second, even though we'll be talking in hypotheticals. But it's one that changes the shape of his program. They got a lot of national attention out of it.
Yeah.
People saw them play. I don't even know how comfortable I am saying what I would like to say, so I probably won't say it. They
probably along the lines of what you're going to say, they play in – I don't really mean this by looks at all. I told Neil this morning. They play an aesthetically pleasing brand of softball. If you're like me or Neil, which I have no idea on the intricacies of softball whatsoever.
None.
I have no idea.
And I'm not – I just don't watch it. I'm not being –
But when you watch them, and I've watched a good bit, I watched the end of the Florida game, I watched pretty much all the Alabama game, and I watched a decent amount of the LSU game. They are built off speed. They're built off defense. They run a lot. They kind of they have a lot of slappers at the top of their order. They make a lot of contact. If you're just watching the game from a, hey, let's move this thing along, let's have some action standpoint, really from the way that most people are going to watch this on television, it's more pleasing than the team that is going to be much more power-oriented and trying to drive the softball out of the ballpark. It's just more stuff happening. I mean, it's you know, the other side of that is more like baseball, where it's slow and methodical, and you don't really know what's going to come next from an action standpoint. Ole Miss at least kind of moves it, and the ball moves around. And if you're just picking somebody to watch, that is more fun to watch. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I'll let it just stop there. They got some attention. And people will notice them, and it will help them in recruiting. It will help in fan support. Give them credit. They took advantage of a period where there's hasn't been a lot of good things happening. And they got a lot of people excited. And if they host this weekend, there will be big crowds there.
Oh, it'll be massive. For whatever massive means in softball, I don't know.
We'll have this discussion, and it could be utterly meaningless by the time you hear this. There aren't many hotel rooms available this weekend. That is not – I've seen some people try to pin that on the Ole Miss administration. I've been critical of the Ole Miss administration on a lot of things, but you can't pin this on them. There was no way they could have known a year ago that this team was going to host this year. And they sure couldn't have planned it out. It's like Mississippi Soccer Association State Tournament. The one that was in Columbus a year ago is in Oxford this year. It's been planned for more than a year, maybe 2 years. It's teams from 8 years old through high school, basically. Club soccer teams. It will be a massive tournament. It will be a massive revenue generator for the city of Oxford. People have had hotel rooms booked for minimum 6 months. Because I booked our room in Columbus last year.
Yeah, I remember
6-7 months early.
Yeah, I remember that.
The whole, not that anyone would do this, but the whole, I've had someone even say, well, you should kick some of those people out and make room for the teams. No, that would be dumb. It won't be the reason they don't get a regional. And if they do get a regional, they'll figure it out. They might have to put teams in New Albany. They might have to put teams in Batesville. They might have to put teams in Tupelo. You might even have to put a team in, like, Olive Branch, South Haven, they'll figure it out.
And look, I don't know. Maybe they break some dang national attendance records, but typically softball regional crowds are not baseball regional crowds. So we're not talking about 15,000 people. We're probably talking 3,000, 4,000. Yeah. I'm guessing. But
I have no idea.
You know what I mean? I mean, the stadium can't fit 15,000 people.
It's not going to be the 12 to 15,000 people that go to a baseball game. And someone said, well, they would have made room for baseball. Well, yeah. And the baseball would have been 2 weeks from now.
When this wasn't a conflict.
When this wasn't an issue. They wouldn't have scheduled this in Oxford for that weekend. Your people searching for conspiracies where there's not one.
Another complete sentence that could be a waste in a couple hours. But just from understanding the baseball regional situation all those years, this team this high, they've got the ninth toughest schedule in the conference. They played some conference opponents that the other conference teams didn't have to play because it's uneven scheduling in the SEC. They're this hot. They win 40-something games. We're counting the tournament, they go 14-14 in the league. They were 10-14 in the regular season. By them, if they ended up not hosting, you're really punishing a one seed somewhere else is what you're doing. Because if you're a one seed and look up and go, hey, Ole Miss is my two, I go, well, hold on a minute now. How is the SEC champion not hosting?
From the sounds of it, and again,
we're so guessing.
I'm so over my head and out of my league on this one right now. But from the sounds of it, from people who know what they're talking about, they should host. If they don't, it had nothing to do with hotel rooms in Oxford.
I'm not basing this off continuing winning because I honestly think as long as Mike Smith's here, he's going to win softball games. To whatever extent, I don't know, but they're going to be good. They're not going to fall off the table. I have no reason to think that. They're going to be able to recruit better tomorrow than they could yesterday because of all this.
Yep.
So he can capitalize off that. But from a standpoint of just sustainability, how sustainable is softball as a marquee sport with the Ole Miss fan base?
Oh, I don't know. That's almost a better question for me to ask you.
I don't know
the fan base better than I do.
Am I off base here? And this has nothing to do with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, any of that crap. Am I off base in thinking that we're not too far off from softball passing women's basketball in popularity?
Oh, I think in some places it already has.
This region.
Alabama, Auburn.
But I mean, is for the casual fan that watches something, and I get that none of them are pulling great ratings, but you know what I mean. Is softball closer to being that next sport than women's basketball?
I don't know. It's a good question to ask some people. I don't know that I can answer it. I would love to talk to TV people about if you could have one or the other and not both, which one would you have?
I mean, I would rather watch softball if I had to pick one.
Yeah, I probably would too.
And I'm more a baseball guy than a basketball guy. That plays a role in it.
I don't like women's basketball, freely admit it.
It just moves better. I just like how it moves. It's a two hour game with some action. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what I'm getting.
I don't know. It's a good question. You'd love to ask the people like at ESPN, hey, because their answer would be, well, we love both. If you get one or the other, can't have both. Which one do you want?
Yeah, you get softball programming or you get women's basketball programming.
You take your pick. Your choice. You get the first choice. It's yours. Go. I don't know. I don't know which one they take. I think the softball gets pretty good ratings.
In the SEC, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU, Missouri, for sure have more softball fan base than women's basketball, in my opinion. Those for sure.
In the SEC, the only schools that have a really dedicated women's basketball.
State and Tennessee.
State.
In Georgia to an extent.
Yeah, Arkansas at times, but not really. I mean, we don't cover women's basketball, and we don't get a single complaint about it.
None.
Hadn't gotten a complaint in 3 years. This is the first year that Russell, bless his heart, kind of followed some softball for a little bit. I'm going to be honest here when I say this.
In a way, he was.
When he started, I kind of thought people would criticize him.
He made the right decision.
It's hard to say anything definitive because, yeah, you just won a conference tournament, so everybody's excited because you won.
But had they lost to Alabama Saturday morning after beating Florida, I still think it's a bit of a watershed moment with the program where people are more locked in on the regional, and when next year we get here and they go, hey, Caton Lee's back.
Yeah.
So-and-so's back.
No, that's probably, probably true.
Let's at least pay attention.
Yeah. We'll know more next year.
Yeah.
I mean, do people start showing up for it? Do people buy season tickets? Do people?
And I guess that's my point is, have they reached a point where so many more people are going to be interested now no matter what? Or is this next week an incredibly critical week for Ole Miss softball? Where do you win your regional? If you're two, do you go beat somebody else in their regional? Do you have to be playing super regional weekend to make that next jump? What, you know, where is it from that standpoint moving forward? Because, yeah, I mean, as you said, we give Jay Tate on the podcast all the time. We might even have him on again this week because baseball team plays Thursday.
We will definitely
this with him as well.
Yeah,
Jay's been covering Auburn softball at least a couple years. They hired Clint Myers from Arizona State, I believe. I have that right. And since then, Auburn started an upward rise in the sport, and they've started covering it. People pay attention. They know the players, all that stuff. And when he first did it, we kind of made fun of him.
He did, and when they first did it, their baseball program sucked. So it kind of filled the void.
Yeah. But over the weekend was the first time when I allowed my mind to go, is that next for us? Are we doing – like, what's here? I mean, New and I have never even discussed this. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head. But I did. I kind of caught myself Saturday night going, is this part of coverage plan moving forward? I mean, where is this sport going? Because SEC title or not, I never anticipated such a high percentage of our website subscribership to know five softball players' names to the degree they do right now.
I'll tell you one of the reasons. I'm being totally honest about it. I don't know whether Jay will say this out loud. He's usually pretty frank. But Jay can be pretty politically correct. One of the reasons I think he started covering it was because you actually got access.
Oh, they beg for access. Anything you needed, yes.
As opposed to all the football crap where you're dealing with a lot of bullshit, frankly. Mm. Just bullshit. Sorry. That's what it is. All over. I'm not talking about Ole Miss. I'm not talking about Auburn. I'm talking about all over the place. College football is more closed down than NFL.
So it was fun. They were winning. Sure.
Why not?
Fans were interested.
Yeah, fans were interested. It's easy to go talk to people. Something tells me you don't sit in the team room for an hour and 15 minutes after a practice waiting for a softball coach to come talk to you.
I'm sure Mike Smith was more than happy to talk today.
He was very accommodating.
Yeah.
And could have been like, hey, where have you been all year?
Fair question.
I mean, I would have said it's a good question. I don't know. You know me, I would have answered it honestly. Like I told you today, I mean, is this going to sell? I don't know. What sells? Nothing sells. I don't know. Beach me. Is this the next big thing? I don't know. Ask me in a year. There were a lot of people out there to greet them Sunday.
They got a hellacious ovation at baseball.
People like winners.
Now, even in its infancy like this, they've got to win. They got to really win.
Well, yeah, sure.
They can't be middle of the road.
Middle of the road
in the SEC is still an ain't top 10.
I laughed at people when they made fun of Mississippi State fans for getting excited about women's basketball. Look, if Ole Miss went to the national championship in women's basketball, it would be a really big deal in Oxford, too. Agreed?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, that's silly. Now, what happens when you fall off a little? Is it still a big deal? Next year,
has Tennessee started to slide in women's basketball interest?
I think so.
And they hired the woman that's been around the program and all that stuff. Whatever her name is, I can't think right now. But
you know, I mean, they had one hell of a run. I mean, my God. But I don't know. Is it sustainable long term? I don't know.
But is anything sustainable long term?
That was my next question. If Ole Miss baseball fell off the map for 5-6 years, you're not getting big crowds out there on the weekends.
I mean, there was a time when Auburn baseball was a son of a gun.
Yeah, when I was covering them, they got huge crowds.
Hal Baird, Tim Hudson.
Yeah, they don't get huge crowds now. I don't know what is sustainable. I mean, if Alabama football went 4-8, 4-8, 3-9, 5-7, 4-8, people would stop going to games.
Nothing's completely sustainable. It's just the bigger sports have an easier time jumping back.
Yeah.
Football and basketball, you get back in the boat quicker than you would for a non-Big 2 sport.
I mean, I think Ole Miss soccer draws pretty well.
They do.
Yeah, you know, people, as those sports get more popular.
Now, I think you've got an opportunity here with softball if you're Ole Miss because they're going to win. The sport continues to elevate. The SEC has established itself as the preeminent conference, as it does in most of those type of sports. Also, they've done it out of complete necessity, but I give them credit for doing it. Tons of giveaways, tons of food days at games. I mean, next year, it's going to have a lot of games where you go, hey, go sit out at softball. They're going to win. They're kind of fun. They're pretty to look at, all that good stuff. They're serving crawfish. Let's go take some beer. Let's have some free crawfish, and we'll watch some softball. They do a lot of that. It's going to work. It's going to help. They're going to get a chance to convert people. They're going to get a chance to have some more kids in the park where the daughters go, hey, I want to go to softball. I like Kate and Lee. I like whomever the next person is. I've got a shot here. You got a shot. So.
Oh, they have an opportunity.
I'm going to pull some parents away from some baseball games potentially when they go head up. Just being honest.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
No question about it.
So we'll see. Either way, they will be playing regional play this next weekend, so we'll have more on that obviously on Tuesday's show as we find out what their draw is and what that looks like, but we'll carry it through. It is a team that was dead last in the SEC 3 years ago, now SEC champions. A heck of a story. If nothing else, it's quite the human interest story for Ole Miss right now. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. They're funded on two simple philosophies. They do what they said they're going to do. When they said they're going to do it, and they've got open and honest communication with customers as well as employees. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf installation. They even do holiday lighting for those who are desiring that around the holiday season. 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. Annual contract, mention the podcast, first cut on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide. OUB offers all of the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, that you speak directly with a live person, no 5-minute wait, no 10 buttons to push. OUB has the absolute best free checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. Comes complete with cash back or interest options. If you have a Kasasa account, OUB will refund your ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you are looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael Oswalt a call. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi, works with Tom Smith Land and Homes, by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Go to his sites, gotland.com, that's got-land.com. The land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call, 662-719-3967. He's ready to meet with you and explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. Also, check out his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Beard, a little bit of a news here from a lead standpoint. Bryce Blom, the Ole Miss freshman infielder, he had had 9 at-bats this year. I believe 3 hits out of those 9 at-bats. Was expected by everybody to be their second baseman next year. If Tate Blackman left for professional baseball, I was really high on Blom. I thought he did pretty well during some opportunities. He is transferring. He is leaving the program. Actually, he's kind of already left it because he's not on the active roster. He's finished with exams for the semester, so he is headed elsewhere. Texas A&M, ironically, because they're playing them this weekend, appears to be the most likely landing spot there. However, he would have to sit out for 2018. So Bryce Blom, no longer only on Miss roster, headed elsewhere to finish his collegiate career, and it puts Ole Miss in a little bit of a bind at that position because, like I said, I expected Blom to play second base. Now maybe looking at Anthony Servideo, a freshman coming in next year out of Florida, move some other people around. They've got a lot of infielders, but – nonetheless, a loss and a name that most people were penciling in for next season. Bryce Blom, probably an Aggie moving forward. So, quickly here, just kind of pass this along. We are going into the last week of conference play for baseball. Florida leading the East at 18-8. Kentucky at 18-9 right there. So, two very, very, very close to each other. Kentucky still with a 7 RPI, so the Wildcats have a good shot at the national seed. Florida at number 5 in the RPI. Vanderbilt at 22 in the RPI, 13-13 in the SEC. Mentioned South Carolina. They are 12-15 in the SEC, and they are 30-21 overall and 30 in the RPI. Still a decent RPI, but they're in deep trouble. I mean, I just – losing that many games in a row or that many series in a row, I can't see it.
I just don't know how that doesn't result in change there. You talk about an attractive job, except for one thing.
Ray Tanner's the head guy. Right?
Now you're the guy, though. Exactly. You're the guy that gets to replace the guy.
And that's okay.
Well, it's certainly easier.
South Carolina started 5-1 in the SEC. So they are 7-14 since then.
Wow.
Losers of 7 straight series.
Wow.
It's not good for the Gamecocks.
No.
That fan base, I bet, is irate right now.
Whew. They want change. I suspect they'll get it.
Because not just continued success, but 2 titles.
Is there
finals?
Is there one name that comes to mind on that job?
Ooh. Good question. Top assistant in North Carolina, I like a lot. Now, South Carolina hiring an assistant coach, I don't know how that would go over.
I'd have to hire a head coach.
But that was the name that at least popped up. Yeah, I mean, no, that's a weird job. I mean, you can't get him. You know who'd kill there?
Who?
Dan McDonald.
Yeah.
He would.
You just troll him now.
I'm really not, though. I mean, that's a perfect fit for that job. He's recruited up that seaboard a good bit.
He's not leaving for there, though.
No, he's making $1 million a year. He's good. Won his 500th game over the weekend. They clinched the ACC whatever division he's in. I don't know the difference.
Easier path to Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to host.
Yeah. Easier path. So, whatever. But, yeah, that's where Carolina is. Missouri, 11-16 in the league. Whatever, 61 RPI. Georgia, 9-18, although the Dogs have impacted the race the last 2 weeks. 2 out of 3 from Kentucky, 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State over the weekend. So Georgia at least getting hot, but probably way too late for that. 9-18, 22-30 overall. So another year at home for the Bulldogs, although I guess they could make the SEC tournament. They currently are in pretty good shape for the SEC tournament over Tennessee, who is 7-18 with a 44 RPI. Rounding out the East, Dave Serrano was as good of a hire as Tennessee could have made, and they suck in year whatever.
Yeah.
You never know.
Got to be careful when you make changes.
Losing programs, hard to turn around. Rocket science.
It is.
In the West, LSU is taking over first place from Mississippi State. After the weekend, LSU sweeping Auburn, Mississippi State losing those 2 out of 3 to Georgia. One game ahead of the Bulldogs, LSU at 12 in the RPI. State, interesting case here. State plays LSU this weekend. So if State wins 2 out of 3, they tie for the West and co-champions, whatever. State wins the tiebreaker for the seedings in Hoover. LSU wins 2 out of 3, they win the thing by a couple games. Mississippi State 17-10 in the league. So let's say they win one, 18-12.
Okay.
It's probably not a huge RPI bump because you've lost a couple games. I don't know what State has in the midweek. May not have anything, no clue. State's 33-19 going into the weekend. Say 18-12. RPI of 25. Do they host?
No.
I don't believe an SEC program's ever hosted at 25.
The RPI is too low to host.
Even at 18.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now they're
20. You know why? Because the committee will look for a reason not to do it, and there it is. When the committee has a clear reason not to do it,
they'll take it.
Yeah, and that's easy.
Arkansas 16-10, A&M 15-12, A&M at 35 in the RPI, even at 15-12 after the weekend. So Ole Miss a couple spots ahead of the Aggies there. Auburn 14-13, Ole Miss 13-14, and then the Alabama Crimson Tide coming off a sweep at the hands of the Florida Gators, 5-21 in the SEC.
They got to 5.
They got to 5.
Give them credit. I didn't think they'd get there. Did you think they'd get there? They were at like 1 or 2 a little while ago, and I thought they might not get past 3.
And actually, it's going to be 5-22 because they haven't lost the other one yet, but they're down 5-2 in the 8.
Still got to 5.
So you're proud of them right now.
Could have been worse.
That's what Goff ought to tell Byrne later on. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Hey, I swept Auburn.
If I'm Byrne, I make a change.
After year one.
Yep. I go with the, he's not my guy.
He sucks and I don't like him.
I'm going to go get my guy.
Moving on.
Go find my guy.
Like, you really would. You make a change after year one.
Absolutely. If he was your hire, you can't.
Alabama's RPI is up to 175. They'd be rolling.
Could have been worse. I'd still make a change. I'd thank him for his service. I'd pay him what I owe him, and I'd move on.
How many toms you think Butch Thompson's having to go through right now? That dude has gotten on the bubble and out of a host spot because he allowed Alabama, of all people, not just the worst team in the league, but the worst team in the league with the mullet A on their hats,
yeah,
sweep them. Oh.
Yeah.
I bet some people on the planes are pissed.
Sure. That's why you play the whole year, though. Again, like we said earlier, you are who you are. You eventually get exposed if you're flawed. You rarely play above your head an entire season. They're not one of the league's seven or eight best teams.
No. They're so not very talented.
It got caught up. It caught
got
up
a couple
to
of really good pitchers.
Yeah, and they played above their heads for a while, and kudos to them. It's hard to keep that up.
No, it is. It's something. So, see, there's some dude from the Marlins yesterday. Kind of getting really off topic here as we're kind of getting close to closing. He had hit 45 home runs in his career against right-handers, but it was his first ever home run against a left-hander.
No, I didn't see that.
45 against right-handers.
I did not see that. What's his name?
I'd have to see a lineup.
I don't remember. It's all right.
No, it's okay. Vegas Sportsbook's coming out with future odds for the NFL next season. They have the Cowboys at 9.5 wins. Step back for Dallas.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the division.
Who is?
The Giants.
Really?
Giants are going to win the division.
Even with Eric Flowers playing left tackle?
Yeah.
Okay. Three teams have double-digit over-unders. The New England Patriots, 12.5.
That's a big number. God, that's
pass.
Yeah, I just don't want anything to do with it. I'm not betting against them, but that is a big number. 12-4
loss, no thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, last year they lost one game with Brady at quarterback.
Yeah. Green Bay, 10.5.
Well, the Bears will be awful.
Lions, Vikings.
Over.
Steelers and Seahawks, 10.5.
Under. Both. 11 wins is a lot of wins for teams like that. I don't see it.
On the other end of the spectrum, the Browns have the lowest win total at 4.5. Jets and 49ers both at 5.
Jets and 49ers at 5?
Yep.
I'd go over on the Jets and under on the Niners.
Why the Jets over?
I think the wins will be a little easier to come by in the AFC.
NFC West is sneaky weird.
Got to play the Cardinals. Got to play the Seahawks.
The Rams beat you up, if nothing else.
Yeah. And if they get any quarterback play, they're a 7-win team.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they will. I don't know who's the Niners quarterback. That's such a quarterback game.
Only two teams have 100-1 odds to win their divisions, and those are the Browns and the Jets. 101 to win the division.
Yeah, it'd be a waste of a dollar on either one of them.
If you had to pick one, do it on the Browns because he didn't have Brady in his division.
Yeah.
But
it's neither team's winning their division.
No shot. In
the What's the Saints over under?
I don't know. That's the only ones I had.
So oh, okay. What would you put the Saints over under at? Seven and a half.
7 to 7.5, yeah.
They're right around there. They're a 500 team.
It's what they are.
Yeah.
He does not allow them to suck.
No. He makes them where they can win every game that's not against a great team. And the NFL doesn't have great teams.
Yeah.
The podcast has been brought to you by the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford is the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles. There at the Rebel Locker Room, you can get your Ole Miss season football tickets at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com.
So, again, Podcast Tuesday, we'll talk a little more softball. We'll set up Ole Miss for the week in baseball as well, so we've got some media availability tomorrow. Get some different stuff for you there. Check rebelgrove.com, Neil's 10 Weekend Thoughts, some baseball content items up as well, and more. So we'll talk to you on Tuesday.